Good morning, Bridge family. You know, the devil is in the details, but Jesus is in the gospel, and guess what? Jesus wins. So welcome to the Bridge this morning on this last Sunday in May, May 31st, the first Sunday in the season of Pentecost, but I get ahead of ourselves. Let us take a look quickly at some housekeeping details. So if you want to connect with us for us to help you or you to help us do what we do here, you can connect to us in a variety of ways. But today, Sarah Bradley is on Facebook Live as our host for the service. So everyone say hi to Sarah. Thanks for filling in for Sally. Awesome. And I am your host for The Bridge, Nathan Strobel. Pleased to be with you. Sally Wallner is actually out of state right now, coming back this week, just doing some God things with family. So but you can still connect with her at swallner@stpaulmuskego.org if you need assistance or want to help with assistance to our community during this ongoing pandemic time. Prayer requests, information on the screen, stpaulmuskego.org/contact us. Need to talk, the pastors are waiting for you to call. Just call the office number, pick an extension, and we get an email to our phones right away letting us know how you, to get a hold of you. So leave a message for us on the church office system. People have been giving online so wonderfully in the last 2.5 months. Ways to give are found on stpaulmuskego.org. You can text to give, give right at the website, or go to Facebook and Instagram to give as well. Many have been following Pastor Pete through daily devotion, sometimes with a daily devotion video, sometimes with just the email, but feel free to tap into that through our website as well and have some Word of God to encourage you each and every day. Today, Pastor Pete is our preacher. He won't be with us live. We're showing a video of his sermon today because he is actually preaching for 3 traditional worship services this morning at 7:45, 9:15, and 10:45 as we have reopened the traditional side of worship here at St. Paul's. Also, he'll be preaching Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. But next week, Sunday, June 7th, the Bridge opens back live in person. It'll be awesome. We'll have at least 25% joining us, so round of applause for God and for our reopening things. Awesome. Next Sunday, 10:15, we may have registration for the service, depending on what we're seeing attendance-wise across the way. So next week, June 7th, the Bridge is back in person live. Recorded traditional worship and live stream continues from week to week. Just so you know, even when we're fully up and running with all of our services, the recorded services will continue to be offered from week to week for those still not comfortable coming out to in-person worship. So keep that in mind as well. Today we begin Pentecost Potential. Pentecost is the festival of the church year when we celebrate how Jesus followed through on his promise to send the Holy Spirit from his Father, from himself, to jumpstart the church by coming on the disciples on Pentecost Sunday, giving them spiritual gifts of speaking in different languages that wowed all the Jews who were gathered in Jerusalem on that celebration for the Old Testament Jewish church. And what they heard from the apostles was the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit began to jumpstart this Christian church movement, preaching the fulfillment of Jesus as the Savior of the world. Pastor Pete opens up with a look at Psalm 51, how the Holy Spirit inspired the King David of years gone by to reach out to our hearts and teach us about the Spirit's work in our hearts and how to love. So Pastor Pete, this week, Pentecost Potential. The songs that the band will be singing are on the screen. Tony Duralius is our worship leader for today. Pastor Pete is our preacher. I am your host guy. And we head into our first song, Cornerstone by Hillsong.
Thank you, Pastor. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to worship. We're going to start our time off today with a song that focuses on Jesus, who is the cornerstone of our faith. He also gave us this perfect example. When he came and he lived on earth, he lived perfectly. And that is how we can show, and we can use that as an example to show Christian love to others. The song's called Cornerstone. Please sing with us.
My hope is built on nothing less.
sing that together. Here we go. My hope.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweet.
So excited to be here helping you worship the band and I. My name is Tony Duralius. I'm one of the worship leaders here at the Bridge in St. Paul's. We're going to use this next song as a song of confession. So we know, we all know, that our sins that we commit every day condemn us to death and eternal separation from the Father. That's really not a future full of hope for anybody. But those who believe in Jesus, we who believe in Jesus and that he saved us from our sins, there's that glimmer of hope, that pathway to heaven. And we see that in the empty grave, the story of Easter. And that is the proof that Jesus is alive and he is our living hope, not for past generations, not just for us here today, but for generations to come. The song is called Living Hope. Would you please sing with us?
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living home.
Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to
silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. And came the morning that sealed the promise, your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah.
Come, Holy Spirit, kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen. I love that Pentecost prayer. Just reminding us how special this holiday is, that we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the apostles on Pentecost, and the miraculous outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Today, I'm out here in the church lobby because this is the week that we are going to, as a congregation, walk back into the sanctuary for the first time. Next week, we'll walk into the bridge for the first time. And before we walk into church, I thought it was important that we talk together about what I think is an existential threat to God's church, something that could just destroy it. Now, I'm not talking about the idea that we haven't gathered for public worship for almost 2.5 months. That's difficult, but God's church has flourished. God's people have continued to worship and grow closer to their Savior. No, the threat that troubles me as I think about God's church right at this time when we begin to open up our churches is the threat of division. Symbolized for many of us by a mask. If you wear a mask, are you one political party? And if you don't wear a mask, are you another political party? Is that going to divide us as God's church? If you wear a mask, do you take COVID-19 seriously? And if you don't wear a mask, you don't, and you don't care about people? If you wear a mask, are you in judgment of somebody else? It goes on and on. Now, let's be honest, this is happening all over. You go to the grocery store, you go to Walmart, you know, judgments are being made. You're standing too close to me, somebody sneezed within 6 feet of me, you know, there's all that kind of thing. But it's frightening to think that Satan can use these kind of things to cause division among God's people in God's church. And that's why I call it an existential threat. Because if he can sow discord among us in these ways, he will use that to destroy the faith of some and to keep others from ever even considering coming into his family of believers. And that's why I appreciate that it's today on Pentecost weekend that we are gathering together for worship for the first time. Because God's church has faced existential threats in the past. And it's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that has changed that time of great threat into time of great renewal and the growth of God's church. That's what happened on that Pentecost in Jerusalem when the church was in danger because the leader of God's church had ascended to the right hand of his Father. And would the disciples carry out the Great Commission, or would fear overtake them and nothing happen? Well, when you read Acts chapter 2, you know the Holy Spirit showed up. And what was a time of great fear became a time of great triumph as God's church exploded on the scene. 3,000 people coming to faith. God be praised. The power of the Holy Spirit. Today, I want to talk to you about another time when the church was facing an existential threat, about 1,000 years before the time of that first Pentecost. You see, the leader of God's church spent about a year in unrepentant sin. He had masterminded the murder of one of his good friends and then had tried to cover up his adultery with his friend's wife. And for a year, he didn't admit it. He tried to cover it up. He lived in unrepentance. What would that do to God's church? Could God's church survive? Could God's promise of a Savior who would come through that man, King David, survive? Well, today on this Pentecost Sunday, we celebrate that the Holy Spirit was poured out on King David and miracles happened. And a time of spiritual renewal began, just at a time when it looked like God's church in the Old Testament was going to be destroyed. So what I'd like to do today is I would like to use the last part of King David's prayer in Psalm 51. So if you have your Bibles handy at home, I would encourage you to open up to Psalm 51. Remember, Psalms is basically right in the middle of the Bible. Find Psalm 51, and I'll read portions of this psalm as we work our way through. And we pray, just as the Holy Spirit came on King David, just as the Holy Spirit came on the apostles, that the Holy Spirit would come upon us and give us a new heart, a crushed heart, a pure heart, a praising heart, and a praying heart. First of all, may the Holy Spirit give us a crushed heart. I read from Psalm 51, verse 7. King David prays, "Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from all my sins, and blot out all my iniquity." Cleanse me with hyssop. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. If you're familiar with the account of King David in 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12, you can understand why King David talks about desperately wanting to be cleaned and that his guilt be blotted out. Committing adultery with Bathsheba, masterminding Bathsheba's husband's death. But you know what? That sin was hidden from King David. It was kind of like the coronavirus. People can be infected with this coronavirus. This is what makes it so frightening, right? People can be infected with this coronavirus and not know it. They can be asymptomatic, not evident to anybody else, but be able to spread it. King David didn't know that there was a virus growing in his heart, destroying him. Thanks be to God. God loved David enough to send a doctor, the prophet Nathan, who told Nathan, David a story about some rich farmer who slaughters his poor neighbor's one little lamb. David gets all angry, and then Nathan says, "You're that man. You're that man." And David suddenly sees what he couldn't see for almost a year. And he confesses, I have sinned against the Lord. It's no wonder then that he prays, cleanse me with hyssop. You know, the Old Testament cleansing, that hyssop plant was like a paintbrush that you'd sprinkle the water of cleansing on you. Cleanse me, Lord. Let that water of cleansing sprinkle on me. Help me know that I'm pure in your sight because this guilt overwhelms me. But he only knew that because the Holy Spirit had worked through the prophet Nathan and had given David a crushed heart. The virus that threatens God's church is hidden to us as well. King David in Psalm 19 says, who can discern his errors, forgive my hidden faults? I pray that the Holy Spirit works in us as we come together to worship, that he convicts us of the judgments that so easily and quickly rise up in our hearts. Are you wearing a mask or not wearing a mask? I would expect when people come into worship, some will and some won't. And it will be easy for us to make judgments on each other. Assumptions that we know something about them, we know why they're doing it, and maybe they're doing it just to spite us personally. Oh, you see, Jeremiah says the heart is deceitful and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Come, Holy Spirit. Pour out on us and just crush our proud hearts. That we do what Jesus talked about in the Sermon on the Mount, that you know, we're so ready to take the speck out of somebody else's eye and we fail to see the beam of judgmentalism in our own eye. We're going to have differences of opinion on what's the best thing, what's the safe thing, what's the wise thing. Did people make the wrong decisions? Did they make the right decisions? We're going to have differences of opinion. What unites us is not that we all agree on the appropriate responses and the amount of danger. What unites us is that we are all equally sinful and equally in need of the Savior. King David says, cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Be poured out on these crushed hearts and let us see what truly cleanses us. You know, we talk so much about making sure our hands are washed. Let's wash our hands over and over again. You and I have the one thing that can truly cleanse us, the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. You and I are cleansed. We are forgiven. And so, yes, Holy Spirit, crush our hearts so that we desperately desire personally that forgiveness and are ready to share it with others. That's the next part of King David's prayer. Verse 10 says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. You know, as part of our Pentecost potential message series, we're just starting it today on Pentecost, but then we're going to be looking at the potential that the Holy Spirit, the giver of life, put into creation. And that what unites us with that event in Genesis chapter 1 is the prayer that King David prays for in verse 10. Create in me a pure heart, O God. Now, in Hebrew, that word create, bara, is really special. It's the same word that Moses uses in Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God barad. It's special because only God is the subject. Only God can bara. Only God can create. And we have a God who can create a pure heart in us. Bara, Holy Spirit, come and create a pure heart. Only God can work that change in our hearts. That's what we're praying on this Holy Spirit, Pentecost Sunday. Holy Spirit, come and change our hearts. Now, as I read over this, you may have heard the word Spirit three times. It's used in all three of those verses, 10, 11, and 12. Now, verse 11 certainly is a reference to the Holy Spirit. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. But the other two references to Spirit are references to the Spirit within us. Renew a steadfast spirit within me, in verse 10. Steadfast has the idea of something that has a solid foundation. It reminds me of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, right at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, where he talks about, you know, building your house on the solid rock foundation. What are we praying? We're saying, Holy Spirit, give me a heart that is solidly founded on your word, that doesn't make judgments on other people based on my opinions, but uses God's word as for the indication of what's right and what's wrong. And my opinions are just that, and your opinions are just that. Lord, send your Holy Spirit to us to have this heart that has this Spirit that is solidly founded on God's word, that makes uses God's word to be the guide. And then in verse 12, he says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit. The word willing most often is translated generous. So Lord, give me a spirit that understands your will, that doesn't make judgments beyond your word, and give me a spirit that is generous. Generous towards others, that assumes the best. You see, we want everybody else to assume the best about us, that we have good reasons for what we do, but we so easily, because of this sinful heart within us, we assume the worst of others. And so we're praying, Holy Spirit, work this miracle. Do something that only you can do. Give us that pure heart, that clean heart that is generous towards others. You know, I've seen it in many a meme on Facebook, the whole idea of be kind. But you and I as Christians, we have the real understanding of why be kind, because we've experienced that incredible mercy from our God. And we have the promise the Holy Spirit's working that miracle in us. And so we're just saying, Lord, work powerfully in us, that we understand and use your wisdom, Lord, in kindness and love. Grant us a crushed heart, a clean heart, and then praising heart. David writes, then I will teach transgressors your ways, so that sinners will turn back to you. I'll teach transgressors your ways so that sinners turn back to you. How does that happen? Do you think David was praying, Lord, let me really lay into other people and straighten them out so that they turn back to you? I don't think so, because that's not the way any of us have been turned back to the Savior. Then, after I have experienced the cleansing from my sin, and you have miraculously given me this heart that eagerly desires to show love and mercy toward others, then I'll teach transgressors your ways. What's God's ways? God's ways are loving and kind and forgiving. Sinners will turn back to a God who forgives. You see, this is what the church needs today. A praising heart. Now, Mike's right behind the camera, and I just got to give this little poke to Mike, because, you know, when we think about praise, you know, we think of singing, and obviously this is something very special to Mike and so many of our wonderful musicians in our congregation. But praise really isn't about singing. You know, if it was, the Holy Spirit would have preserved all the notation that David certainly included so that he could sing these songs. But we don't have any of that notation. What is it that makes for a praising heart? It's not whether you can carry a tune or not. It's that you have experienced God's grace, and you just share with others that same marvelous forgiving grace. There's another phrase here that I think is really important. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God. You are God, my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. I've heard from any number of people that they are filled with fear as we begin to open up. The fear that, what if I'm carrying that virus and I infect somebody else? How will I be able to live with that? It's probably going to happen to more than one of us. But how did David live with blood guilt? You see, he really was at fault for bringing about Uriah's death, not just sickness. How did he deal with it? He said, you who are God, my Savior, my tongue will sing of your righteousness. When that time comes, when you feel guilty, because perhaps what you've done, perhaps a mistake that you've made, perhaps a decision you made that turns out in a way that you hadn't expected it to, and somebody gets sick, and maybe, God forbid, somebody even dies. How do you deal with that? You confess what's sinful. And you rejoice that God is your Savior, not because you've done everything right, but because of His righteousness. My tongue will sing of your righteousness, O God. David had a heart that praised the Savior because he knew that he wasn't good enough, that his righteousness didn't measure up, but God's did. You are accepted, you are forgiven, you are loved. Even when things happen that we don't want to have happen, deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God. David was delivered. I pray that same miracle happens in us. The Holy Spirit comes and gives us that heart of praise. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. I'd like to close just with the last couple of verses where David prays for Jerusalem. You see, he's a praying king. He says, May it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteous, in burnt offerings offered whole. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. King David blew it. And in a very real sense, he put the walls of Jerusalem, the walls that protected God's people, in danger. And so he prays, Lord, don't just change me, but I pray for God's church. You see, I'm not really afraid for God's church, because you and I, by the power of the Holy Spirit, have been given a heart that prays, that prays for the New Testament Jerusalem. Oh, sure. There are things we have said, things we have done, things we will do that tear down the walls of the New Testament Jerusalem, that bring harm to God's church. But we're praying together. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Build up your church. And let's pray. Use me. You know, David has this powerful phrase that I skipped until now. It's verse 17. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. You see, what will keep the church going? Oh, offerings are important. We want to give that sacrifice as well. But what will really keep the church going is the sacrifice that you and I offer. The broken and contrite heart that only the Holy Spirit can work in us. And when we do, God will use our humble confessions of sin, our claiming again of his forgiveness, to declare his praise. So, welcome home. It's going to be good to see God's people back here in church. Some of you won't be able to come into this building for a long, long time for a variety of reasons, and that's okay. But every one of us is welcome right here in the church of God, where the Holy Spirit pours out himself on us. We are all in God's church. Let's pray together. Come, Holy Spirit, kindle in each of us the fire of your love. Amen.
Dear friends, that sermon was recorded 2 days ago. And since then, our nation has been embroiled more and more in the strife of racial tension and evil that came into our world through an action of a police officer on a fellow citizen of our nation. That officer now charged with murder, and our society reacting and not in God-pleasing ways. I would have loved to have seen what Pastor Pete would have done with Psalm 51 and what's happening in our world today. If you're like me, your heart is hurting for that family. Your heart is hurting for the city of Minneapolis and for the state of Minnesota and for our nation. And there's a part of you that wants to help. Well, the answer is the same as we think about reopening as a congregation and not judging others. Kindle in us, Lord, Holy Spirit, the fire of your love, and may it begin with me. So as we pray to close out our worship today, we're going to try to wrap all of this together from the Holy Spirit's words to us through David, through Pastor Pete, applying to our world. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Holy Spirit, kindle in us the fire of your love. Holy Spirit, we have learned today that You kindle in us the fire of your love by bringing to us the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that he died for the sin of the world, that he died for the sin of me. But you begin by proclaiming to us that our sin separates us from our Father in heaven and from our Lord and Savior Jesus and from you forever. That's what we deserve because of our sin. Yet, your gospel, O Holy Spirit, the good news of Jesus as the world's Savior from sin, declares me free, declares the world free, and then empowers us, your people, to share that message with the world in hopes that people will hear it and believe in Jesus as their Savior from sin and repent of sin and turn from sin and grow in loving you and loving their fellow man. We ask that you would help the bridge at St. Paul's and St. Paul's church family to truly love each other and our world unconditionally in the weeks to come. As we come back together for in-person worship, and some people are back today, and some are back next week, and some are back maybe 2 months from now still, help us to welcome each person with open arms, open hearts, never judging, only loving them, and knowing now was the time for you to come back. Welcome back to God's house. We've missed you. And Lord, as we as a church family look at our world, as we as God's family look at our world and our nation, Lord, help us know that the way to begin healing in our nation begins with me. Lord, I know that there is sin in my heart that is prone to prejudge each and every day. Help me to never prejudge anyone, but to approach your world with great humility, knowing that though I deserve to be separated from you in hell forever, yet I have heaven, your presence forever, only because Jesus died. Help me to wrap my brain and my faith around that and love you and love others more than myself. And help me figure out how to help our world to heal by how I pray, by how I love, by how I live. And now, Lord, help us to wrap all of our thoughts, all of the angst of our heart, the concerns of our hearts of faith, let us wrap it all together in the words of the prayer your Son taught us. And Holy Spirit, as we do so, kindle in us the fire of your love. And may reform in your world and in this church can begin with me and the good news of Jesus, my Savior. And all God's people together, we pray the prayer our Savior taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Now, people of God, as we prepare to leave this place and space of worship in our lives, receive with believing hearts the blessing of our God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you his peace. And together with the people of God through the ages and around the world, the people of God say, Amen.
Amen.
We turn it back to Mike for our closing song.
This song is a song called Your Love is Strong. And is Pastor Nate led us as a team in our kind of pre-production and a rehearsal devotion, that idea of prejudging and how much that comes into play. When I don't see the person, I see the malady. I see the thing that they struggle with, or I see whatever is other, and I don't see the person. Where do we go? What do we do? You know, the Christian has God as our strength, amen, but how does the world make sense of that? There's a line in this song that we're going to get to in the second half of it that says this: two things you told me. It's a Psalm 62-ish, someplace in there. Two things you told me: that you are strong and you love me. If we only have a strong God, then bring justice. But truth be told, I don't want it because I know how guilty I am. And and God's justice would separate me from him forever. You love me. But if it's only love and there's no strength, then he can't be powerful to save in any real circumstances. It's kind of like Ronald McDonald or name your stuffed animal that comforts you in the night. It really can't do anything. The God of the Bible, the Christian God, is the God who is both strong. And the whole gospel is that he loves you and he has the strength to save. You'll see the words wrapped into the petitions of the Lord's Prayer, each one a prayer that has substantial meaning as we sing the song. From here, we'll send it back to Pastor Nate, and then the band will come out and send us on our way for the rest of the week. But this is a song called Your Love is Strong.
Strong is your love. Thank you, Bethany and Mike, for that. And strong is God's love, not to minimize what they just sang, but even when you walk into the camera shot, well, they are recording. So thank you very much for that message, that song. As the band's coming back to the stage for our sending song, just a couple things to remind you of. Again, if you are in need of assistance for anything throughout the week, please contact Sally Wollner at her email address on the screen. You can also find her through the website. Need prayer requests, you can also find that at muskego.org/contact us. And then again, needing to talk to any of us as pastors, Pastor Bonach and I, and Pastor Keel and Pastor Panitsky, all willing to take time to talk with you, share God's word with you, to help us get through these troubling times in our world. Ways to give, still found online, stpaulmuskego.org/give. Texting, through Facebook, through Instagram. Also find Pastor Pete's daily devotions that can come to you every day, either in video format or through an email, as he helps us read our way through the Bible, through God's Word. Also, traditional worship, it will be offered again this Wednesday at 7 o'clock, if you would like to come in person for that ahead of time, but also next week, The Bridge Live, June 7th, 10:15. Watch your email as far as whether or not we have registration for that service. The songs the band played for us today, leading us in worship, will close with Build My Life, and we turn it back to Tony and the band to send us out with God's word in our minds and in our hearts with the song.
Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring.
God's richest blessings on your week. We hope to see you back here very soon. Have a great week, everybody.